Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our review of the Small Catechism coincides perfectly with this festival of St. Michael and All Angels. Having moved on from the Ten Commandments, we come to the second chief part of the Catechism, which is, of course, the Creed, specifically the Apostles' Creed. And we begin with the first article entitled Creation. It's printed on the back of your service folder. Permit me to read it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me, along with all created things, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. He also richly and daily provides me with clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and yard, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have, with all that I need to sustain this body and life. He shields me from all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And all this He does out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. The doctrine of creation includes not only the creation of all things, but also the preservation of all things. Creation and preservation. And the angels are included in both. God has made me, we confess, along with all created things. We believe what the Bible says about how God made all things, visible and invisible, in those 6 natural days of the creation week. Now, the invisible things include the holy angels, spirit creatures with a rational mind, with a personality, with great power, but without flesh and bones. They appeared to people throughout the scriptures in bodily form, sometimes with wings, sometimes without. There are vast numbers of them, vast armies of them, all created sometime within the 6 days of the creation week to serve God within God's creation in ways that we can't even imagine. But as rational beings, as creatures with a mind and with a personality, they were given a choice whether they would serve their Creator or not. And as you know, while most of them chose to serve Him gladly, a portion of them chose not to. A number of rebellious spirits, led by one now known to us as the devil or Satan, that ancient serpent, as Revelation 12 referred to him, because of course he was the serpent who deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. He lied to her then, and so became, as Jesus calls him once, the father of lies, and a murderer from the beginning, because it was his set of lies that led our first parents into sin, resulting in death for our race. We think of demons as scary, ugly, menacing creatures that possess people or afflict people or do harm to people, and they have done all those things. But more than anything, they are liars. They attack the truth, sometimes with bold and obvious lies, but usually with half-truths and twisted truths. They're behind every false god, every false doctrine, every falsehood that brings chaos and dysfunction to human society. They work invisibly behind the scenes. How exactly they go about influencing people with their lies isn't revealed to us in Scripture, but we're told that they do, and that the churches of the world and the governments and kingdoms of the world are two of their primary targets for promoting their lies. Anything that distorts the truth about God and about God's creation. So you hear the lie about evolution, denying the Creator and His account of the creation in Holy Scripture. You hear the lies about gender, the lie about homosexuality, the lie about abortion and sex outside of marriage being acceptable in God's sight. You hear lies from politicians every day, lies from the experts, lies from the media, and you hear lies from false prophets too, to the point that it is almost impossible to believe anyone anymore. That is with design, because behind those lies are the fallen angels. And you see just how severely the devil and his angels are ravaging our world and tearing it to pieces faster and faster. But even as the world crumbles, believing the lies that are being spread, God is there, faithfully preserving His creation for the sake of His children until it's time to usher in the new creation. Not only has God given me my eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, but He still preserves them. God is there, richly and daily, providing me with clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and yard, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have, with all that I need to sustain this body and life. He shields me from all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. The holy angels are part of that preservation, agents of God's preservation. The angels are God's perfect messengers, His perfectly devoted, sinless servants. Michael is called in Scripture the archangel, one of the chief princes, of whom the apocryphal book of Tobit suggests that there are seven. The angel Gabriel is well known to us from the Scriptures, and Raphael is mentioned in that same apocryphal book of Tobit, if that story is to be believed. The angels brought special messages to certain individuals in the Old and New Testaments, but their duty as messengers has largely ended, being given now to the ministers of the church, who are the angels of the seven churches of Revelation. But today, the spirit beings called angels still defend God's children from harm and danger, as they did with Lot and his family, or the prophet Elisha, or the apostle Peter. And they still fight battles against the demons, battles that we will never see. Battles fought in the spiritual realm on behalf of God's human children, on behalf of God's people, believers in Christ, as they did at the time of the prophet Daniel. As the psalmist says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them." Or in Psalm 91, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." In the second lesson you heard tonight from Matthew 18, Jesus gives us just a very small glimpse into that spiritual realm where he assures us that the angels in heaven, the angels of the little ones who believe in Jesus, always see the face of his Father in heaven. He says that as a terrifying warning to any who would cause any of his little ones to stumble. And that's not only talking about little children who believe in him, but about all of God's believing children, young and old. He calls them their angels, or our angels, because they have been given to us, the people of God, as a powerful guardian host. So while the influence of the demons may seem more obvious to us at times, remember that the good angels are there too. These spirit beings who are much more powerful than we are, who are fully equipped to battle against the forces of darkness in the spiritual realm, and who will continue to work quietly behind the scenes to shield us from harm and to protect us from all evil. But don't thank them. Don't praise them. And certainly do not worship them, as Christians have been foolishly deceived into doing in times past. Instead, thank God and praise God for them, that he provides those angels as his tools for preserving his people. Worship God alone. Give thanks to God alone for the faithful service of his beloved angels, who are our spiritual cousins in God's family. And pray that he would continue to preserve us through the presence and protection of the holy angels. We are unworthy of the help that these sinless, perfect creatures give, who must blush when they see us fall into sin. But as we confess in the first article, God preserves us out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. If God so loved us that he provided his only begotten Son for us to bring him into our race, to suffer for our sins on the cross, and to give us the gift of eternal life, then he will surely also continue to send his angels to guard and protect us in this life until they fulfill their final duty for us and carry our souls to paradise, as they did with poor Lazarus, or harvest us from the four winds on the last day, to bring us into the new heavens and the new earth. For all this, it is my duty to thank and to praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.